Let's go to the scriptures. Acts chapter 1. So the title of my message this morning is Be a Part of a New Community. Be a part of a new community. It's always progressing. It's always getting better. And so we're going to make room, which is our theme for this year. And this month we are focusing on making room to build his house. And one of the best ways we can do that is through our connect groups. And connect groups are just simply a small group of people meeting in somebody's home or in a cafe, wherever it's convenient for people to meet. It says here in Acts 1, come with me to verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. This is just before the start of the modern church with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came down. And it says this, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Jesus is saying this, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And now come with me over to verse 14. They all met together continually. Everyone say the word continually. I think we've lost something in our modern world, that we were meant to be together continually. It's interesting, isn't it? Like when the first church was, like the New Testament church was born, it was all the time together. Look around you. All the time together. My goodness. I'm just saying. They all met together continually. What do they meet for? For prayer. Along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women and the brothers of Jesus. And during this time, on a day when about 120 believers were present, Peter stood up and addressed them as follows. Now, before I go on, we're talking about making room to build his house. You're a significant cog in the wheel of C3 Fremantle. Whoever you are, whether you think you're insignificant or not, you're significant to God. And the church is the community that God has had in view since the dateless past. A community that will express his divine nature in the earth. What's his divine nature in the earth? Well, let's just think about what he was. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is right away he was in community. What about the life he created from, if we look to Genesis, he created, he spoke, and things were created. And I think that what God wants for us and our lives is that we actually take on board the life of God when we are together, in unity together. And something God does when we're together rather than alone. And the early church began in Jerusalem. It began in a house where Jewish disciples of Jesus were staying together. It is believed the house belonged to Mary, John Mark's mother. The 12 disciples were present. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the brother of Jesus, James, Jude, Joseph, and Simon were also there. And some other women were there too. Everyone say, yeah, good, the women are there. Good, the women are there. And even better that the men are there. I'm grateful that we have a church that men do come, you know, and that men can be men. I loved what you said, Sandy, maybe not the flower bit, but otherwise we're all... But isn't it true that we need one another? So this 120, it wasn't just women. There was a lot of strong men. And they were praying. There were guys like Graham Vert praying up a storm. There were guys like Urban Rosa, you know, there's the people that were passionate about God and wanting to see the church move forward. See, historians tell us that Jerusalem was at this time a city of less than 1 square mile. Its population estimated at 60,000 people, most of them are Jewish. Jews were tolerated by the Roman Empire at this time, and Emperor Augustus had declared a time of peace. It is Sunday, May 29, 30 AD. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. A priest has prepared 2 loaves of leavened bread. He pours oil on them and slips them into the oven to be baked together. At the same moment, the Holy Spirit descends in the upper room where the 120 are staying. The Spirit enters the room with the noise of a rushing mighty windstorm. Who knows that when God turns up, he means business? Who knows that it's not just, it was something that actually they had gathered together and they wanted to be together. They were praying and God showed up in tremendous form. The wind could have been heard like a mighty windstorm. I don't know if any of you have been to some of those countries where there's windstorms that blow across deserts, but it's powerful. Let's just put it that way. And the Spirit enters the room. It fills the 120 people with the presence and power of God. Now, what does Jesus say? He says, "Wait in Jerusalem for my Holy Spirit." Wait for my Holy Spirit. So what were they doing? And even this transfers right to today. We are in Connect Group and we are believing for the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform our lives. And the 120, they speak in languages that they had not previously spoken as they are baptized into the Holy Spirit. The Romans visiting Jerusalem are astounded that they can hear God being magnified in their own dialect. A crowd develops around Mary's house and the atmosphere is electric. The Jerusalem church is born. You know, right here, right now, we should be grateful for the first church, the New Testament church. Come on, let's give God a hand for what he's doing. Thank you, God. You see, with the Spirit's coming, Jesus Christ, the head, he baptizes, because let's get this right, Jesus is the head of the church. He baptizes 120 people, the Jews, into his body. The first church is born on earth. There is now a community of people who contain God's life and are expressing God's nature. I don't know. Even just thinking about this and these verses, I don't think some of you are getting this quite yet. This is something that we should need to be passionate about our entire life, because we live and die for the church of Jesus Christ, because that's what he is the head of. We cannot do without the church. And we've got busy lives. We've got to stop making excuses and we've got to press into what God has for us. And the more that we press into God, like Greg Moore, one of our board members, said a few weeks ago, the more everything else in my life will be sorted out. And so I'm just so excited and passionate because I see this Acts as being so prevalent to where we're at as a church right now. You see, the essence of church is the life of God. It's not dead. It's not complaining all the time. It's about having faith in Jesus Christ and believing for something that's not there yet. Who'd like some more faith like that? And so the principle behind the first church in Jerusalem is this: the believers came together in one of their homes. The oneness of the Godhead was transferred, and that in itself was a miracle. I don't know if you got that. The oneness of the Godhead was transferred. That in itself was a miracle. Because when we have Jesus Christ in our life, it doesn't matter if we're Josie Wally. It doesn't matter if we're Hazel, beautiful talking on the interview there. It doesn't matter if we're Jason Doss. Welcome this morning. Stranger, don't see you much here anymore. I wonder why that is. You know, we're together. We're building the house of God together. Aren't we, Leonie Beetha? Together. Together. Oh, I'm getting it. Oh, there's more. We've got to keep going. Look at this, Acts 2:41. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. So Peter's done his talk after the baptism and the Holy Spirit experience, the Pentecostal experience. I'm so glad and grateful that I'm a Pentecostal. And they believe in the full gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they joined with the other believers, it says, and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and prayer. Now, I just want to pick up, because it's Connect Sunday, they joined the other believers. What had the other believers been doing which created such momentum? They were together in one place praying. God's eternal purpose is that of expanding the divine relationship that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God does that through the church. He does it when his people gather together in groups. He transfers his life. And what would seemingly be impossible in the natural, due to the differences in people, becomes null and void because of the dimension of the Spirit on each other's life. The end game of making room for God through house church, through what C3 calls connect groups, is the extraordinary work of God in our lives that is astounding to those who do not believe. My goodness, I'm not sure you're getting this just yet. See, the priest who placed the two loaves into the oven, it would have been a wooden oven. He placed two loaves into the oven for the 120 to share of Christ's body. We call it communion. Those two loaves represented, from a spiritual perspective, both the Jew and the Gentile baptized into the one body on the day of Pentecost. It was a new race and a new spiritual community was born. Because before that, it was just the Jews. It was always the Jews. The Jews were the Christians. The Jews were the ones that talked about Jesus. But on the day of Pentecost, through the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit, it came through a flame of fire that came through a rushing wind. It was both Jews and Gentiles. It was both those that knew God because that was their faith and that was what they knew from growing up. And now it was the whole world. The whole world. There is no difference when the Holy Spirit. There's no discrimination whatsoever with God. And connect groups are an important part of the Christian life. They are, in fact, a way of life for any Jesus follower. You see, Peter continually, Acts 2:40, continued preaching for a long time. Aren't you grateful that I only preached for about 30 minutes? Some of the Africans, they like to preach for a long time. I heard that Rod Waters has just come back, one of the pastors at C3 Joondalup. He just came back from Africa and they asked him to preach for 4 hours. I don't think I've got the stamina for 4 hours. I'm glad. He's a sanguine. I'm not that kind of guy. But you know, if you could preach for 4 hours, knock yourself out. I don't think you guys, I think there'd be with no one left. I'd be preaching to myself. Well, even God would have gone, I reckon. Times change, but principles don't. Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this corrupt generation that has gone astray. The principle still applies, right? See, my second point is this. Being a disciple is not a one-time event. And Luke is saying that being a disciple of Jesus is not a one-time event, in case you didn't get it the first time. It's not coming to church and doing what you like the rest of the week. We are not a religious person. We are transformed by the power of the living God into our lives. We live for Him. See, the sermon wasn't completed. He preached for a long time, but the sermon wasn't completed. It is, in fact, ongoing through each of our lives. The New King James says, with many other words, he both warned them and pleaded with them. And the essence of his warnings and pleadings was the appeal, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And that is, Peter was not asking for private and individual conversions only, but for a public identification with other believers. It's why I believe in public declaration of our faith when we come to Christ. It's not just an individual thing that you are doing. That is not a Christian life. In the words of John Stott, on this passage of Scripture, commitment to the Messiah implied commitment to the messianic community. You change communities when you come to Christ. To one that is new and being saved from one that was old and corrupt. And the amazing response to Peter's appeal confirms that both Jews and Gentiles were not only ready to transfer into their community, they couldn't be held back. Because when the Spirit of God gets on us, it's immediate, it's transformative, and we move on and we learn and we learn and we get in a small group so that we can gravitate around one another and help one another do life together. In Acts 2:42, they joined with other believers and devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. You see, the model is doing life together. Acts has already given us it. This is my third point, guys. We are given a model to pattern our lives around. And the apostles' teaching, church itself, is a common for Jesus' disciples. Fellowship, doing life together at other times, like in connect groups. And not forgetting what Christ has done for us on the cross. Sharing, communion, and then also there was prayer. It's important to note that Jesus himself had a connect group. So you can't really argue with the boss. It was a group of people he did life with. They were 12. And Jesus taught his disciples when they were together over a meal. At one of their houses or out and about, wherever they were, they'd stop and they would talk with one another. And if you've been doing the Bible program in John 2, I read an interesting scripture that I want to talk about, which was Jesus clears the temple of the marketeers. And John says that his disciples remembered Jesus' teachings and what he had said to them when they met together. Who knows that we help one another to remember when we're together? We don't just remember, we actually help because there's stories that we share that cement our faith with one another. Look at this in John 2, verse 17, the New Living Translation. Jesus says these words. I'm just going to read the part I want to look at this today. Passion for God's house burns within me. Okay, I've got an old one. Okay, that'll do too. Passion for God's house will consume me. It's picked up from the Psalms of David. And this is the kind of statement true of disciples of Jesus that should be remembered. Passion for his house. You know, I wonder how many problems we'd actually have if we had such great passion for Jesus' house. How many things would actually go away? And Jesus performed the first miracle after he started his ministry, and it began at a wedding. This is in John 2:2. And there were lots of people at the wedding, and Jesus always seemed to be around people and with people. It's the Christian way of life. Unfortunately, the wine ran out early, and it wasn't particularly good wine. And Jesus asked the servants to fill all the empty wine barrels with water and to take a glass to the master of ceremonies, who at this point was feeling rather embarrassed. And he has a taste and says, "This is such good wine." And then Jesus makes an amazing statement about whether these people who witnessed this miracle would continue to believe in him. Will we continue to believe in him, church? No matter that when things go seemingly wrong in our lives. See, Jesus makes this statement. He knew, John 2:25, in the New Living, it says, he knew what people were really like. No one needed to tell him about human nature. He's done an incredible miracle. And yet, the next week, people are off doing their own thing again and forgotten about Jesus. Their life gets filled up with other priorities that are not part of doing life together and part of his church, and suddenly things start to go a little bit off track spiritually for them, and before we know it, no longer in fellowship. You know, God has always had a plan for his people, and he understands how human nature works, and so he wants us to be together so we inspire one another to stay together. And through the disciples regularly meeting together, they were able to build one another up. They were able to pray with one another, share the word with one another. They were able to break bread together and have fun together. Who's glad we're allowed to have fun in church? I see I'm a bit partial to Maltesers. I can't remember who had them out there, but they might be gone soon. Anyway, this group became good friends. The disciples became good friends, the Bible says. Six had the same occupation. They were fishermen. They had things in common with one another. Andrew, Peter, James and Simon, John, they were all fishermen. Bartholomew had a royal blood. He was scholarly. John was a fisherman, but he also had an explosive temper. That's what they're saying when I do the research. Judas, a violent Jewish nationalist who tried to change his stripes but never quite gave up his past life. You've always got one in your connect group. Just learn to live with them. Jude. He was all about world power and domination by a chosen people. He asked Jesus at the Last Supper, "But Lord, who do you intend to show yourself to? Us and not the world?" Matthew's a tax collector. He was transformed from the love of money. Philip had a warm heart, but he had a pessimistic head. If you're a Philippian, it doesn't mean that's you. Pessimistic head, and I wonder whether that's why actually the Lord actually beamed him up and took him somewhere else. Because who knows that if you're pessimistic for too long, it doesn't help your faith. And that's why we need people around. If you're pretend to be a bit pessimistic, you need to be around faith-filled people. It's good for you. And Thomas, he doubted everything, including the resurrection. And eventually Jesus said, "Do you believe me now?" with the holes in his hands. "Yes, I believe you." See, we form great relationships based on his cause for our lives. We form great relationships based on? It makes you think, doesn't it? This is interesting. The 12 became 120. The 120 became 3,000. Acts 2:43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. There is little doubt from this verse that when people commit to their new community, like we're going to at C3 Fremantle, right, guys? That it helps the key leadership to fire up too. And before you know it, there's all sorts of things happening through God's life. I prayed for this person today in my Connect group. I heard it the other day. I prayed for someone, was praying for someone, and they were healed of their problem. You know, we should be hearing these kind of things all the time. Because leadership fires up when we do life together. It's no, if you haven't been a Connect group or you haven't been to church regularly, the best thing for leadership to encourage them is to keep coming along. Because there's nothing greater than when we have this kind of unity, when we're all together on time. It helps. See, when I hear how well Connect groups are going, I get fired up. My goodness. See, Luke is giving us a beautiful cameo of the Spirit-filled church. And yes, it is correct that the church goes back 4,000 years to Abraham's time, and we know who we're from. But what happened at Pentecost was the remnant of God's people, and they became Spirit-filled. They became the Spirit-filled body of Christ. And the evidence of a Spirit-filled church is described in verse 42. Let's come over, Acts 2:42. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared their proceeds with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. It was a learning church. It was a loving church. It was a worshipping church, and it was an evangelistic church. As I bring this to a close, it was a loving church. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to connecting with one another. It's koinonia, which means common. What we have in common in Jesus, we share. He has been. Who's glad that Jesus has come into your life? Anyone today? If you haven't made a decision for Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment. We're going to stand in a few moments' time. Allow Christ to come into your heart. Accept him as Lord of your life and be part of the community of God. See, the Galilean experience of informal gatherings with Christ as center is now brought to Jerusalem by the 12. And it is being reproduced among 3,000 people. And they were gathering together often. There was an incredible sense of awe of what God was doing. And the small gatherings and the large gatherings alike continued to grow. The Jerusalem church is a microcosm of the city. It includes both wealthy and poor. It has substantial numbers of Jews who speak Greek only. It has Jews who speak Aramaic only. The Jerusalem church had small gatherings of people all around the city celebrating God in their unique communities, and others were added to them daily. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together." as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming is drawing near. So lastly, stay with the herd. Turn to your neighbour and say, stay with the herd. In a leadership meeting last year, I may have told this story somewhere, but I like it, so I'm going to share it again. I have a mate who's been surfing for as long as, probably longer than me. He's slightly older than I am. And I met him last year, and he was chatting to me about how he'd been going out in a boat on his own to an island off the coast here to go surfing. But the problem was that there was a number of sharks that seemed to be around that area, and so he was struggling to go surfing because the sharks were there. And so he was saying to me that there was a few other guys that he knew that could get out midweek that would go with him surfing. And so then he rang these guys and they went together on his boat. So now there was five of them, and they'd go surfing on this break together because there's safety in numbers. There's more chance of someone else getting eaten than just being on your own. And isn't it true that there's safety in being together rather than alone? So if you're a bit stale or a bit grumpy about other people, get over yourself and get into a connect group. Otherwise, seriously, otherwise you're going to get gobbled up by that big white pointer. The devil doesn't take second. He prowls around like a roaring lion. We're meant to be together. It's the animal kingdom. And I know we're not animals, but he always picks off the ones that want to be alone. The ones that are lagging behind. So Father, today as we close, why don't we stand to our feet? I pray the power of the living God onto every single one of us. I pray, Lord, that as we go outside, Lord, even if we're in a different connect group, that we will look at the other connect group so that we have an idea of what is happening in church life. And I pray that today, Lord, that if we are not doing life well together, that we will start to do it better. That you would, oh God, I pray, Father, that every one of us will do life with others in a connect group, in church, in awe of what you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. While we're still standing here, I said I'd give an opportunity for people to receive Christ this morning. If you've never made a decision for Jesus, you've never understood church, you've probably got a better idea now how church works. A messianic community, we're meant to be doing church together. That just means that where Jesus saves, we're better together. We're meant to have our ongoing salvation through doing life together in his church, in his community. So maybe you haven't made a decision for Christ, or you're away from God and you really need to come back to him. You haven't been associating with others. You're backslidden in heart. You're spiritual. You're not aware that God's really with you anymore. You don't have that connection. Will you change today and say, Lord, become my master today. I want to give you my all. Can we pray this prayer together, church? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you want the best for me. I receive you as Lord of my life. Come into my heart. I repent of my sins today. Take leadership of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you mean it, you haven't received Jesus, or you know you need to come back to him today, on the count of three, pop up your hand and I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. And I'd love to pray with you as we close our service. One, two, three.